The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast joins you once again. The Brewers getting set to open up the second half of the 2018 season. The Los Angeles Dodgers come to town on Friday, followed by the Washington Nationals. Tough stretch of the schedule, and there was a whole lot going on this past week. Was very newsworthy for the Milwaukee Brewers. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm the host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. I'll be joined today by Tom Hodricourt, Brewers Journal Sentinel beat reporter, who's going to get us caught up on his perspectives on what's going to go on here in the second half. But before that, a lot of other the two other big stories, of course. Josh Hader in the news for some offensive tweets that he wrote when he was in high school, age 17 and 18, that were unearthed during his performance at the All-Star game. Pretty much they appeared as he was on the mound. A very surreal Tuesday night where the storyline, I'm sure as many of you know, the storyline veered very differently than what maybe we would have expected after the All-Star game, as many people asking Josh Hader about these old tweets. He will not face discipline. He will be enrolled in a sensitivity program. That was the number one issue addressed by David Stearns, Craig Counsell, and players who were available on Thursday night, the night before obviously the season resumes for the Brewers. So that is by far the top story. The other big story, and another kind of bummer for Brewers fans, not as bad as the first one, but Manny Machado, the top prize in the trade market this year, going to the Los Angeles Dodgers. He'll be coming to Miller Park to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Brewers were very interested in his services in conversations with the Baltimore Orioles. One report said that the Brewers were pretty much second place in the sweepstakes. So that's a bummer for Brewers fans. They will still be very active, of course, in the next 2 weeks as the trade deadline, July 31st, sits about 11 days away. So without further ado, here's Tom. And now I am joined by Tom Hodricourt, beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom's been at Miller Park on Thursday, chatting with members of the Brewers, players and Craig Counsell, David Stearns, met with the media briefly as we get prepared for the second half. And Tom, the big story is no secret right now. It's the tweets from Josh Hader's pass. There's no suspension coming. He's going to be undergoing sensitivity training and be involved in some other initiatives. But, I mean, where do you think the club goes from here? Is this a situation where they're going to have to do something other than him speaking to the team? Or is it just a day-by-day thing at this point?
Yeah, it's definitely day-by-day, JR. You know, we asked Stearns about possible disciplinary measures on Hader, and he said every club takes their lead from Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball's decision was to, as you just noted, go have sensitivity training and possibly some diversity initiatives. So the club cannot go more severe than Major League Baseball does, or the union's going to step in, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a mess. Right. And here's the difference. Somebody emailed me today and said, well, how come Chris Bosio used a racial slur as coach of the Detroit Tigers and was immediately fired, and Josh Hader only has to go sensitivity training? Well, here's why. Chris Bosio was an active employee of the Detroit Tigers, right, and broke a club policy of conduct. These were tweets by Josh Hader when he was 17 years old. He had not even been drafted yet. He didn't do it while he was with the Brewers. So they can't. He created no misconduct as a Brewer. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not condoning what he did, not saying it was right, not saying he shouldn't be blamed for it. Of course, these are reprehensible things that he tweeted. But you can't punish him for prior misdeeds he did as a teenager, right, without the union stepping in and filing a grievance. So that's why they did or didn't do what they didn't do. But don't think that Josh Hader's going to go unpunished in this, because he's going to have to live with this for the rest of his life.
For sure.
Travis Shaw just told me a little while ago, this is not going to go away. Yeah. And he didn't mean in a few days. He meant possibly ever. Yeah. You know, Josh Hader's going to be hearing about this the rest of his life.
He is, yeah. And the players sort of expressing support for him as a player because they know him. They've gotten to know him over the last couple of years. But obviously, pretty disturbing stuff. It's something that they're going to be thinking about, too. How do you think the fan base is going to react?
It's interesting.
They open up the series against the Dodgers on Friday. It's interesting to see when he checks into a game.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you how I think the fan base is going to react on the road.
Yeah,
ask Ryan Braun.
Sure. Right.
Ask Ryan Braun ever since his steroid thing. He's booed unmercifully. Josh Hader's going to hear and see and possibly see signs handwritten signs with as much vulgarities as he tweeted as a teenager, you know. And he's going to just have to wear it, because if he responds to it, it's going to be 10 times worse. Right. The Brewers fans, I think they're going to want to hear what he has to say. Tomorrow, Friday's a very big day for Josh Hader,
right?
What he says. You know, he's going to meet with the media. He's going to meet with his players, meet with club officials. MLB is sending their vice president, Billy Bean, who came out as a gay person after he finished playing and was the first MLB ambassador for inclusion. And this is his mission for baseball, is to handle any type of homophobic or insensitivity of this nature. And I know Billy very well, and he'll come in and he'll do a good job. But this is going to be a rough day. I'm guessing Josh Hader's not going to sleep a whole lot Thursday night.
Not to be confused, of course, with Billy Bean, who's the Oakland A's general manager. People make that mistake.
Right, Billy Bean without the E.
Yep.
Well, I think they actually might have been former teammates.
Oh, interesting.
So, no, Billy Bean without the E. Mm-hmm. He came out as a gay person. So the homophobic tweets are things he's seen and dealt with his whole life since he came out. And so we'll see. We'll see. I just don't think there's any way to say how this is going to be on any given day or moment, because let's just see what happens. You know, I wish I could say we were in a forgiving world, but I don't believe we are.
No.
And so we'll see. We'll see how they handle them. I think, you know, the people that know Josh Hader as a Brewer have nothing but good things to say about him. And he's a fan favorite, you know, and just everything about him, the long hair, he's became a strikeout rock star this year.
Right.
So this is a crushing thing for the Brewers. I'm going to write my Sunday column about, has a team ever had a worse week than finishing the first half of the season with a crushing loss that gave them six consecutive losses on the road, then lost the Manny Machado sweepstakes, and by all accounts might have been second, which, you know, might as well be 10th as second. And then have this. You know, his most glorious moment, pitching in the All-Star game, you know.
Turned into a nightmare.
It's on
the field, too.
Well, it's now going to be remembered by him and his family as the worst day of his life.
For sure. So you just alluded to it. The second biggest story is the Manny Machado sweepstakes. You'd written in the offseason about Yu Darvish when the Brewers were associated with him as a free agent acquisition, and how it probably wasn't, they weren't as involved as it looked. But hearing David Stearns talk, I mean, it's pretty clear. They were in on Manny Machado. They were absolutely pursuing him.
Exactly.
And it looked like you said, they maybe were second, came in number two in the sweepstakes. You saw obviously what the Dodgers gave up, high quantity and one top prospect. I mean, do you think that package was cost prohibitive for the Brewers, or that they could have actually done
it? Well, it doesn't sound to me like they were asking for the same thing from the Brewers. David Stearns, you know, without naming names, said that they wanted players that they would just not put in a trade.
Right.
Well, the Dodgers traded like one top 10 guy and then a couple of prospects ranked in the teens in the organization.
Yeah.
You know, we heard they wanted Corbin Burns or Freddie Peralta. It started there and then went from there. Well, those are two of their top three prospects, you know. So, the Brewers it's no doubt in my mind they made a nice offer, but they probably were never going to be able to match the Dodgers. And I talked with Stearns about this, and to his credit, he made no excuses. But the Brewers are always going to have trouble competing on any level like this with the Dodgers, because they have so much money that they can trade prospects, and then if they don't develop prospects to take their place, they'll just go buy free agents or trade for players with high contracts. The Brewers can only do that. You know, I give them credit for going for this was the position player version of CC Sabathia, who you've written about a lot lately on the 10-year anniversary of getting him. You know, they went for the best guy. But you know, the Phillies, they have way more money, and they might have offered more too. So, you know, he offered what he felt comfortable with, and when it wasn't good enough, he had to move on. And only the Brewers will know if they live to regret it. But I think it's safe to say they're going to go out and try to do some other things.
Right. It seems, I mean, they have to get a middle infielder, it seems. And I don't know if that's as, I mean, I don't know if you agree with me that that's like, you know, should be number one on the list. And I guess I'm wondering if you'd be surprised if the Brewers don't end up with a middle infielder. And if they don't, here's a name that came up on Thursday, Orlando Arcia. Maybe that's the guy they turn back to is, okay, we didn't get a middle infielder. Now we're going to use you to be our sort of our upgrade, maybe, because he's doing okay at AAA.
Well, they'll have to do that, JR, if they can't pull a trade off they're comfortable with.
Right, exactly.
So now, you know, they're still going to deal with the rental versus control players. You obviously want control players, but they cost more. Like, everybody wants them to go get Whit Merrifield for Kansas City. Well, Kansas City has no motivation to trade Whit Merrifield unless you bowl them over with prospects. But Brian Dozer with the Twins, Eduardo Escobar, a pitcher J.A. Happ with the Blue Jays, those guys aren't Manny Machado. They're free agents. But they're not Manny Machado, so you can get them for more reasonable cost, you would hope.
Right, yeah.
You know, they showed a willingness last year to move middling prospects to trade for Anthony Swarzak and Neil Walker. And so I'm sure they'll – I think they're looking to do a little higher grade than Neil Walker this year. Certainly Brian Dozer. Brian Dozer, to me, is the perfect high-risk, high-reward guy because he's never played this bad this long, and he's just started playing good again recently. He has a tremendous history as a second-half player. He has tremendous motivation to do well because he's going to be a free agent and he'd like to get a contract. That's the kind of guy I see him going for. I hear he's a great guy in the clubhouse, too.
Yeah.
You know who they'd absolutely love to have and would be a tremendous clubhouse guy and player, and he's playing better than he's ever played before in his mid-30s, would be Jed Lowry.
Right.
But
now Oakland.
Yeah, they're saying we're going to buy.
Right.
You know, so, but that's the kind of guy, you know, a guy, a high-performing veteran guy who wouldn't cost you a ton of prospects that they'd like to go for.
And Jed Lowry's come up before. This isn't the first time.
And the sooner the better, because the more games you have them, the more games you have them. Right. Does that sound stupid to say that?
Yeah, no, it's true.
But, you know, what do we have? 2 weeks left before the trade deadline, and so if it takes to the end. You know, the weird thing about buyers and sellers, JR, is some team that's on the bubble is going to come out of the break and win 7 out of 8, and they're going to start buying.
Yes,
and then another team on the bubble is going to lose 6 in a row and say, we're done, and trade. So it's even fluid within the next couple of weeks.
It's one of the more unusual All-Star breaks that we haven't even talked about the All-Star game yet. And there were some interesting things on the field. Jeremy Jeffress threw a clean inning. Jesus Aguilar almost won the whole thing with a home run in the box.
Didn't it look like off the bat it was gone?
I thought it was gone completely. Yeah. And obviously you see Springer settle under it, and it was just a sinking feeling. But and Hader, to circle back to him, he's been an enigma lately. He's had a couple rough outings lately, and then also some really dominant, typical multi-inning showings.
Yeah.
Then you see him in the All-Star game, and now you throw in this new element of a mental, you know, situation here where, you know, he's got more to think about than just what's on the field.
Right.
I wonder what Hader's going to be in the second half. I don't know what you can
count on. Well, there's two components to this. What is this going to do to Josh Hader, the person, and what is this going to do to Josh Hader, the player? There's a chance that both of those elements will be bad.
Right.
That he'll go into some kind of shell as a person and never be the same, because he's been a pretty cool guy and a fun-loving guy and a guy that the teammates have really enjoyed. Well, if this just makes him shrink into a cocoon, that, you know, then that'll change him as a person. Then if it torments him so much, JR, that he can't perform as a player, then it's going to ruin his career. Or if that's too strong, set him back.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting to see Christian Yelich hit a home run and play kind of poorly defensively, which is so weird because he's been phenomenal. Yeah.
Well, it didn't look like he saw the ball good.
Yeah, that was weird. And then he had trouble getting a ball out of a glove on a sack fly in the 10th.
Might have been some nerves, but he hit an opposite field home run during an at-bat in which he stayed alive with some great fouls, right? I mean, I don't think we need to worry about Christian Yelich's defense.
No.
But, you know, he did look – I'm sure he was just nervous, you know.
Right.
Maybe even a little tired.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on between the home run derby where Aguilar was there as well, and then he got – they all got 3 at-bats, Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, and Aguilar. Aguilar might have only gotten 2. But
your point is they certainly did not get cheated in their first All-Star experience.
All five.
If the Hader thing wouldn't have happened, you know, even with the home run he gave up, if the Hader – tweet storm wouldn't have happened.
Right.
I think they all would have looked at it as like a really nice thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So let's turn to the second half. One of the storylines we haven't actually talked a lot about because the Brewers haven't needed Jimmy Nelson, but you've written that it's going to be September at the earliest that we see him. And I don't know, I guess I'm curious, would the team think about maybe just not pitching him in September?
It's all going to depend on how he looks and what's going on with the team.
Right.
You know, if they're in the thick of a pennant race and they don't think he's up to it, it wouldn't be fair to him or the team to put him in there.
Right.
If they fall out and he seems healthy, then get him some work and let him feel good about going, you know, going out on the mound. But it's too early for us to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're, you know, the other thing is there'll be a point where the minor leagues stop playing and you can't send them on rehab.
Right,
assignment.
Right.
So who knows? I think everybody would like to see him back on the mound before the end of the season, but let's see if that happens or not.
Be super interesting. 2008, go back to that year where Yovani Gallardo was injured and comes back and is sort of a limited capacity starter role. You could see that happening.
Yeah.
If they're in a pennant race, that would be an interesting element.
And if he's anything like he was before the injury, what a bonus down the stretch.
So the Brewers entered the second half based on what happened in the Cubs-Cardinals game late Thursday with a 2.5-game deficit in the Central, very marked difference from where they were, you know, 10 days earlier. When you look at the record and what they've accomplished, pretty clearly this is a successful first half.
Right.
But is it maybe less of a success than it would have been if they hadn't? I mean, certainly would have been better if they hadn't gone on a losing streak.
Right.
Is this still a rousing success based on what your expectations were at the beginning of the year?
Well, I like to say that the proper way to assess anybody's current situation is the path they took to get there.
Sure.
So if the Brewers would have won 7 of their last 8 games to rise to 12 above 500 and pull within 2.5 games, people would have been going, woohoo.
Crazy.
But they didn't.
Right.
They lost 7 out of 8. They went from 1.5 up to 2.5 back in the last week. They're 5 back in the loss column, which is not good.
No.
The Cubs do have 5 more games to play than the Brewers in the second half, which is just nuts.
Build a roof.
Yeah. So globally, do you think you're in a good position? Yes. But did you give a lot back before the break? Yes, you certainly did.
Second half is sometimes you see guys who come out of nowhere. Sometimes you see guys who come back to earth a little bit.
Right.
I'd be a little worried about Jesus Aguilar, not because I think there are signs of wear and tear, but just because it's hard to imagine him keeping up what he's done in the first half. Are there guys on this team that you'd be a little worried about seeing regression? And obviously the other side of that, who's on this team that you think is still really going to be a huge factor that maybe we're not even thinking about or talking about?
Yeah, well, Aguilar's the only guy that's played way over his previous level, and that's just because he finally got a chance to play every day. So can he do that over the course of a whole season? I don't know. Let's see. If they don't, they have coverage at first base with Eric Thames. And so, I just think they need some guys to stay on the field. You know, Thames had trouble staying on the field. Braun had trouble staying on the field. Pena had trouble staying on the field. Even Kane and Yelich spent time on the DL. And Travis Shaw didn't go on the DL, but he played with a bad wrist for a month, and you could really tell that his wrist was bugging him. So they just need to get everybody. I'd like to see the real Brewers team. You know, RC is gone now. Santana's gone now. But I'd just like to see something resembling the team they thought they were going to have play. I mean, look at how many backups were playing on a regular basis down the stretch of the first half. Eric Kratz, Tyler Saladino, Brad Miller, on and on and on. Keon Broxton was, they got a lot out of him, but he was supposed to be not even on the team, right? So they need to get the guys that they thought their team were going to be and get them out there on a regular basis. We only got, 65 games left. They got to keep them out there now and play and see what happens. This is a very tough part of the schedule they have coming out of the break. Dodgers with Machado, then the Nationals with Bryce Harper. Right out of the chute, they're facing the 2 top free agents upcoming in the market this year.
And the Giants.
And then the Giants and then the Dodgers again on the road. So I think we're going to know on August 1st what the Brewers' chances are, because they may have made some trades by then, and they'll have gotten this tough 2-week stretch behind them. And let's see where they are in relation to the Cubs, who are playing a whole bunch of Cardinals here in the next 2 weeks with an interim manager. So let's see how that goes.
Yes. My pick to click in the second half, Ryan Braun. We think he's going to be activated Friday if all goes well, and I think there's still a pretty good stretch of play in the season for Ryan Braun. That's my guess. That'll do it. Tom Haudricourt, you can read his stuff at jsonline.com. He's covering the Brewers the rest of the way. We'll be back again with you next week. Thanks for joining me, Tom.
Thanks, JR.
And that's it for this episode of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. Reminder that we are wherever you want to find your podcast. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play.
We're on Apple Podcasts, and if you find us there, be sure to leave a review and some feedback. I think last I checked, we only had one review. We've had lots of ratings, but only one review, so feel free to come back. Let us know what you think. You can also leave feedback by finding me on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. That's J.R.R.A.D.C.L.I.F.F.E. Let us know what you want to hear, and if there are any guests you want me to try to track down for an upcoming episode, by all means, let me know about it, and I will see what I can do. We'll be back with you in a little over a week to talk about the Brewers once again. Take care.